You know, oftentimes we have to shout and praise and magnify God, and we do it for what he's done in our lives, right? But there comes a time that you have to do that even when you don't see it happening. You shout because you know you shall. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. Everybody shout, shall. So the difference between praise and worship, and I taught on this Wednesday night, praise is you're thanking God. You're thanking him. You're honoring him for what he's done in your life. But worship is totally different. Worship is you thanking him and honoring him, even though you haven't seen it manifest in the natural as of yet. Amen? So we're here to worship God, because there's a lot of things that you shall see. There are a lot of things that you shall have. But in the midst of it all, we honor and magnify God. Jehovah God. Jehovah Pele, my deliverer. Jehovah Makedesh, my sanctifier. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals all of my diseases. Hallelujah. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. That's who he is. Elohe Tihalate. Remember that one from Wednesday night? I remembered it. The God of my praise. Is he the God of your praise this morning? Raise your hand and shout yes. Hallelujah. So good to have you. I wish you would compact this middle a little bit more, because I got to preach like this and like this. But hey, it'll work out. Amen? Amen. Well, that's good. That's a little better than Moses. I got one obedient brother here. Amen. He pastored a church of 5 million, and they all hated him, right? So, amen. All right. If you have your Bible, let's go to two verses. Romans chapter 1. I want to look there for just a moment. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You can hold your place there as well. Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the Word of God? Yes. You believe God's doing a work at Willing Vessel Christian Center? Yes. Amen. His presence is so wonderful. This morning, I want to preach about the faith and the glory that we abide in on this earth. You know, the Bible says we are moving from faith to faith and from glory to glory. But I believe the body of Christ, I believe the Church of Jesus Christ has been held up for a long time. And it's time we get moving again. You believe that? All right. Romans chapter 1. Let's look at verse 17. Hallelujah. Romans 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's what I want you to get right there. From faith to faith. And if you dig into the Greek translation of your Bible, that actually means moving from faith to faith. In other words, faith, walking in faith, living by faith, as the verse continues to say, the just shall live by faith. Well, Habakkuk 2:4, the prophet declares, the just shall live by his faith. It's a personal faith. It's a personal walk with God. I wake up in the morning living by faith. I eat my lunch living by faith. Brush my teeth living by faith. It's a walk. Not by what you see, not by how you feel, but you're simply walking by, everybody shout it, faith, from faith to faith. Now look at another verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Apostle Paul once again in 2 Corinthians 3:18, I love this one. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. I want you to get that. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, the Bible declares to us that we should be living and walking from faith to faith, from glory to glory. In other words, you should be advancing in your relationship with the Lord. In other words, you should be moving from faith to more faith. Because when you place faith in God in your life, the Bible says, have faith in God. Boy, if we could just master that, right? Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Moving from faith to faith. When you go through a trial or a tribulation of sort, or if your faith is tested and you come out victorious, shout victorious. Hallelujah. And you come out victorious, it arouses more faith in your life. Why? Because you can look back on the past and you can build present faith from past victories. Because you know that he brought you through before and that he's going to do it again. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. And they may tell you that it won't happen. But faith says, I shall have it. Hallelujah. And what's the devil going to do with a bunch of people that know that they shall have it? Hallelujah. You can say, I may not have it now, but I shall have it. Moving from faith to faith, glory to glory. Now, what is faith? We know that verse. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Faith. Do you realize that every human being has a measure of faith? Romans 12:3, the Bible says that God has dealt every man the measure of faith. You have all the faith that you will ever need right now. Every human being is born with that measure of faith. That's why there's so many Hindus. That's why there's so many Muslims. That's why there's so many hired Krishnas, because they have faith just in the wrong God. But they have the measure of faith. And it's our job to point them to the Most High God, El Shaddai, the Almighty, All-Sufficient God. Hallelujah. That's the whole point of missions, right? Every man has the measure of faith. Just like you have the right amount of blood in your body coursing through your veins. And if you lost some, you would die. And if you gained some, you would not live. For the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood to the flesh is what faith is to your spirit man. Do you realize that? Without faith, your spirit man will die. But the Bible says you must live and walk by faith and not by sight, not by your flesh, not by your blood, by how you feel, but the life force abiding on the inside of you, moving from faith to faith, growing in your relationship with Almighty God. Let me tell you something. If you're staying stagnant right now, you're not advancing in the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? In fact, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, that's worse than being cold, because I'm just going to be a water spitter and spew you out of my mouth. That's what he declared, didn't he? But it's time to turn up the heat for God. You realize that? It's time to go to a deeper level. It's time to go to a new place. For this church right here, I refuse to allow us to get content. I refuse to allow this body of believers to stay in one place for any given amount of time. We must be looking toward the future in faith. Hallelujah. I told them Wednesday night, we've got a building project going on out here, and sometimes I just walk out on the property, and I open up doors that are not even there yet. I start walking up and down halls that don't even exist. I stand on a pulpit that's not even there and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I see with the eyes of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody raise your hands to heaven. There's a suicide spirit on somebody right now that's coming off in the name of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That spirit cannot and will not stay in this place right now. I bind you, devil, and I loose that individual in Jesus' name. Hey, today is your day, and that spirit will not bother you anymore. And you're coming to Jesus Christ by faith right now, right here today. Oh, hallelujah. Moving from faith to faith. You have enough faith coursing through your life right now to believe God to move mighty mountains. It's not the quantity of your faith, it's the quality of your faith. And everybody's saying, well, I just need more faith. The Bible talks about four kinds of faith. Number one, there's no faith. That's unbelief. That's not really faith at all. Then there's little faith. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. And then there's great faith. He told the Syrophoenician woman, he says, oh, what great faith that you have. And then there's the gift. Everybody shout gift. The gift of faith, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And the gift of faith is energized within you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you now that when you receive the gift of faith, it's impossible to doubt God, because it's the Spirit of God energizing you and infusing you with the faith of God to believe for the impossible. You believe that? Shout yes. I pray for the gift of faith. Hallelujah. The apostle said in Luke 17, verse 5, they said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, they wanted more faith. And I tell people, quit asking for more faith and just work on killing your unbelief. Because you have all the faith you will ever need to move mighty mountains. You don't need more volume. You just need to exhibit what you have. And once you exhibit the faith that you have, it will grow thereby. And you go from faith to faith. And then you move into glory to glory. Hallelujah. And they said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, oh, if you just knew what you were saying. He said, verily, I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, oh, hallelujah, that's not very much at all. You could say unto this sycamore tree, be plucked up by the roots, and it shall obey you. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of the volume or the quantity, but the quality of which you are exhibiting your faith in any given area. That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily, I say unto you, whosoever, are you a whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, what's your mountain? Is it cancer? Is it depression? Is the enemy trying to destroy your marriage? Is it a seducing spirit? Is it a spirit of fear or anxiety? All you have to do is what the lady said this morning. Just look it square in the eyes. Square your shoulders against the enemy and command the mountain to be removed from hence to yonder place, and it shall obey you. Hallelujah. My God, I feel faith all over me right now. Hallelujah. Work on killing your unbelief. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Faith to faith. Then we go from glory to glory. You see, faith arouses more faith because you can build on past experiences, right? The Bible says tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Why? You have a no-so hope, not a hope-so hope. People tell me all the time, well, I hope so. Well, I say, well, I hope it's a no-so hope because you can know by faith that God is in control of your life. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to glory. Everybody shout glory. Glory. With open face in a glass, we see the glory of God. We are changed into that image. You know that glass referring in this scripture is the Bible, the Word of God. When you read the Bible, it's like a mirror, you see. It reflects who you are. But the good thing about God's Word is that it has the power to change you and to redeem you and to sanctify you. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. Hallelujah. When you get the truth of God embedded into your heart, no mountain, no devil, no enemy can stop you. No principality or power can weigh you down because you're moving from faith to faith. Then comes the glory of God because you see, faith produces praise. That's right. You show me somebody that praises God no matter what's going on, despite how anything sounds or feels or looks. You show me somebody that will lift their hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords despite what's taking place, and I'll show you somebody full of faith. But you show me somebody whose face looks like a cemetery and their eyes look like a graveyard, and they stand there trying to impress their spouse and their kids and the preacher, and God's not impressed, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you now, because he's looking for somebody to lift up their voice. He's looking for somebody to give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Because it's the shout that will bring the walls in your life crumbling down to the ground. The God of my praise. Elohei halate, hallelujah. And when you begin to thank him and praise him, despite what's going on around you, that shows faith. And then that brings the glory of God. You believe that? Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Turn there real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Hallelujah. And as you're turning, I just want you to say, addiction, you don't belong here. Hallelujah. We've started recovery groups at this church, and we're walking them through how to stay free. But I'm looking for a day when radical transformation comes into somebody's life, and the only reason they go to a recovery group gym is just to enforce what God's already done. Hallelujah. And it can happen. Hey, I remember a day when the glory of God came into the house and you didn't have to pry and beg people to come to Jesus Christ. They would run to Jesus Christ because when the glory of God is in a place, they're pushed to make a decision. They're pressed to make a decision for Christ Jesus. And that glory is here right now. Raise your hands all over this place. Father, visit us with your glory today. Manifest yourself. Hallelujah. When you begin to praise him and magnify him, you don't care how hot it is. It doesn't matter because I'm telling you now, the presence of God is hot anyway. You get a little dose of his glory and his presence in your life, it's like a heat that you've never felt before, and God can transform your life. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Solomon. the son of David, king of Israel. One of the wisest men that have ever lived. God asked him, he said, or God declared to him, ask me whatever you want. Do you know what he asked for? He asked for wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge that you have. I know people with letters beside their name. It looks like alphabet soup. They've got so many degrees, but they have no wisdom. Therefore, they can't find a job. Do you realize that wisdom is not hidden from you, it's hidden for you? The Bible talks about the hidden treasure of God's wisdom. Hallelujah. James said in James 1 and 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely to all men, and he upbraids not. He doesn't show partiality. If you need wisdom, get in the book, get in your prayer closet, pray in the Spirit, and the wisdom of God will flood your life. Some of you need that wisdom today. Solomon asked for wisdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he builds a temple. He dedicates it to his God. Just as we dedicate this tabernacle to God today, just like you should dedicate your tabernacle that you abide in on this earth, your flesh man, you should dedicate it to God today by giving yourself a living sacrifice, lifting up your hands in praise unto our God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire, everybody shout fire, came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory, everybody shout glory, of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Now, what if that happened in this place? Oh, it shall happen. I'm praying that thing in here, baby. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. You realize you have a good, good Father? He is a good God. He's very good. Hallelujah. But as they began to pray, the fire of God came upon the altar and consumed the sacrifice. And that is the glory. Everybody shout glory. Glory. The glory of God. There's two types of glory. There's the omnipresence of God that's all around us right now. And then the Bible, the Hebrew word for glory here, means to press. Everybody shout press. It's a weight. It's heavy. If you've ever been in a church service where the glory of God is there, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, I come up in this thing. I know. I've been in churches and I've been in services before where the glory of God was so thick, you had to make a decision. Everybody was healed. Everybody was set free because it was the Shekinah. Everybody shout Shekinah. The Shekinah glory of God is the visible, tangible presence of God. The glory, the fire, that was the Shekinah glory of God. When they presented the sacrifice in the tabernacle of Moses, one day a year on the Day of Atonement, when the sacrifice went up, the Bible says that the glory of God, the fire of God consumed that sacrifice. That's the tangible glory of God. That same glory was a cloud by day and a fire by night that led them through the wilderness. Hallelujah. It's the glory of God. It's a weight. Everybody shout weight. But when the glory of God is in a place, raise your hands to heaven. I want you to see with the eyes of faith right now. Listen to me. I know you're believing God for something. I want you to see with the eyes of faith. I want you to look into the future, and I want you to see what he sees. And he sees victory. He sees deliverance. He sees power. He sees glory. Hallelujah. He sees freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. Just look into the future with the eyes of faith today. The glory of God is a weight. It's a pressing. That's when the glory and the presence of God is in this place, ladies and gentlemen, that everything will be pressed out of an individual. Suicide will be pressed out. Addiction will be pressed out. Unforgiveness will be pressed out. When you get into the presence of God, you suddenly remember that person that you need to go to and say, just forgive me. I'm sorry for what I did. You know why that happens when you're worshiping God? Because the glory of God is what presses that out of you. And you're convicted of sin. That's what it is. That's the Holy Spirit using the glory of God to press out of you the bitterness, the wrath, the jealousy, the anger. He presses it all out. Everybody shout press. The glory of God presses it all out. Let's go to Exodus chapter 33. Moving from glory to glory. You know, I believe that the body of Christ, that the church of Jesus Christ has been stuck for years now. I believe that. As a traveling evangelist, I saw dead church after dead church after dead church. And I really believe with all of my heart that in many congregations, the glory of God has been lifted from that place. And yeah, what they're saying sounds good, and it looks good, and it may even feel good, but the glory of God is not there. People will come in and leave the same way they walked in. And we have to refuse to let that happen in this place. When I see people walk in here who are not born again, who are bound by addiction, and they leave the same way, it breaks my heart. But we must have the glory of God in this place, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the pressing of God. And we have that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 33. Look at verse 17. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Verse 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face. This is the Lord, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, there is a place by me. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to stop right there. I want you to think about the instances in your Bible where men saw God. They visually seen him. Ezekiel saw him. He saw the chariots of fire. He saw the wheel within a wheel. So we know that he saw a glimpse of the glory of God. We know that Isaiah saw him in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train, his robe, filled the temple. And then he said, I am a man of unclean lips. There's that pressing again. When you get into the presence of God, into the glory of God, men will start declaring that they are men with unclean lips. And they will realize they are a sinner in need of a Savior. You realize that? That's what Isaiah was saying. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't stand in his presence and in his glory. But he saw God. But yet God says, no man can see me and live. So how did they live and not die? That tells us that we move from glory to glory. Let me tell you something. Every time you encounter him, he gets better. Every time you see him, he gets greater. Every time he invades your life, it just gets so much sweeter. It's the glory and the presence of Almighty God. When we stand in this altar and we magnify him and we see miracles, signs, and wonders, it can and will and shall get better. Hallelujah. Because he's always better. He's always greater. And we always move from faith to faith and glory to glory. Listen, I don't want what happened yesteryear. I don't want the revival of the past. I want to see God do a new thing. And I refuse to miss this wave of glory that shall sweep across this earth and cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. From glory to glory. Hallelujah. Verse 22, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cliff. Everybody shout cliff. Of the rock. You can't just read your Bible. You have to what? Read your Bible, right? What was the cliff? What was the hiding place? Colossians chapter 3 says we are hidden in Christ. Hallelujah. We are dead, yet we live because we are hiding and abiding in Christ Jesus, standing upon the rock from which his glory shall pass. The psalmist David declared in Psalm 61, he says, when I am overwhelmed, God, take me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. And he says that rock in the wilderness was Jesus Christ, that same spiritual rock from which you drink the living water, and you stand on the rock and he hides you in his presence so that the glory of God can pass by. My God in heaven. You want to see the glory of God? Get in his presence. You want to see the glory of God? Call on the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. He's the cliff. He's the hiding place. He's the rock on which you stand. Hallelujah. Doesn't stop there. Let's continue. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back part. But my face shall not be seen. This is significant here because Moses got to see the glory of God from behind the cross. You follow me? So when the glory of God passed by him, he was hidden in Christ, a type and shadow. He was in the cliff. He was standing upon the rock. Hallelujah. And he saw the glory of God come by. And then the Lord lifted his hand and let him see his back parts, representing that he got to see the backside of Calvary and the glory of God. Everybody shout Jesus. Jesus. You realize he is the glory of God? And John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Did you hear what I said? We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. The Magi said when Christ was born in Luke 2, verse 9, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Hallelujah. In James 2, verse 1, James calls him Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. In Matthew 17 and verse 2, the apostles saw him transfigured before them, and they said, I see the glory of God around his face. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins and set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. Moses looked to the cross. We get to look back at the cross, at the glory of God, and we beheld his glory and we can see face to face. Hallelujah. Raise your hands to heaven. Magnify your God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. You see, glory belongs to God. Glory belongs to God like light and heat belong to the sun. Hallelujah. Glory belongs to God like water belongs to the ocean. Glory belongs to God like ice belongs to the Arctic. It's his, you see, and he dispenses it as he wills. And as you go from faith to faith, you're also going from glory to glory. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God is bringing his glory to Willing Vessel Christian Center. God is bringing his glory to Stokes County, North Carolina. And God is bringing his glory to your house. And you can see him face to face. Another word for glory in the Hebrew language is honor. When you praise him, you honor him. When you're in his glory, you honor his presence. Hallelujah. I want you to hear what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He says, a prophet is without honor in his own country. And the next verse says he could do no miracles there but heal a few sick folks because there was no honor. We're living in a day and in an hour where there's no honor. There's no respect, even in the body of Christ. Nobody respects spiritual authority. Nobody wants to come up under the pastor. Nobody wants to come up under leadership because you've got it all figured out, right? But when you come up under that authority, that's a blanket for you, and you're giving honor where honor is due. You realize that? And when you began to do that, and when you began to honor one another, listen to me. When you bicker and you fuss and fight and complain about somebody who's sitting right beside of you, you're dishonoring them. And that dishonor will hinder the glory of God in our presence. We live in a time when law enforcement is dishonored. The government is dishonored. The President of the United States, whether you agree with him or not, he deserves honor because God has placed him there. Despite how you feel, God has established that order in this life. And we are to honor that. Children don't honor their parents. Parents don't honor their children. When you fail to discipline your children, the Bible says, number one, you hate them, even though you think you love them. When you fail to discipline your children, you dishonor the Lord and His Word. Because Paul says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents. Now, are your kids reading that verse? No. He didn't put it there for your children to read. He put it there for you to read to know how to discipline and structure your children. And when you fail to do that, and when you fail to honor your spouse despite what they do, and some of the things you say are creating the world around you. You realize that? I hear it all the time. Well, my husband, he's just sorry as can be. Well, if he wasn't, he is now. Keep talking it. Keep saying it. Watch it become a reality and watch it not change. But you begin to call them the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. You begin to call them the favored of the Lord. When my wife gets upset at me, I go read Proverbs 31. My wife is a virtuous woman. Hallelujah. I declare and decree that over her life. Yes, sir. Say amen, somebody. And that's what begins to play out in her life. That's what we're called to do, to honor one another. And when we get the honor back in place, that's when the glory of God will cover this sanctuary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when we honor His Word, and we put His Word first in our lives, and we put God first in our lives through Jesus Christ, He will honor that and bring victory to your life. You believe it? Say amen. Amen. Honor. Everybody shout honor. Honor. Can I share one more thing with you? Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3. I read this the other day, and you know, sometimes if you read your Bible, you will learn very quickly that you can read it 100 times, and it's always fresh. It's always fulfilling. Amen? I can't tell you how many times I've read this book from cover to cover, but I can tell you now, when I get into Genesis 1, verse 1, sometimes it's like the thing just leaps off the page at me because it's fresh, it's energized. And let me tell you something. The more you know about God, the more you realize how much you don't know about God. And the more questions you have. That's because He's good. That's because He's glorious. That's because you're moving from glory to glory, from faith to faith. It never ends with God. It always gets better, and it never ends. There's no ending with God. Hallelujah! Listen, do you realize it can be better in your life? It can be better. But you have to choose to receive His glory. You have to choose, number one, to honor God. Number two, you have to choose to stand upon His Word. And number three, you have to stop being a spectator and become a participator with God and God's people. Listen, don't just come to this place and as we worship, don't just stand there and spectate. Don't just watch what's going on. My God, get involved with the thing. Become a participator. Amen. I'm a participation preacher. If you don't say anything, I'll quit. Amen. That's what God does. You don't say anything, He quits. He has forever surrendered His right to act independently in your life. You realize that? It's called free will. All right. Habakkuk chapter 3, are you there? The prophet had a hard time with God because during this time of Israel's history, God was bringing judgment upon Israel from the Babylonian Empire. And Habakkuk, the prophet of God, says, Lord, why are you using something evil to take your people into captivity? That was his prayer. He says, why? And then he has a talk with the Lord. And in chapter 3, I love this, he begins to sing a song. Verse 1 of chapter 3, Habakkuk. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shehanoth, which is a song. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy works. Everybody shout revive. In the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory, everybody shout glory, covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. And he had horns. That word better translated as bolts of lightning or streams of light were coming out of his hand. Now I want you to notice this. Never seen this before. Notice what Habakkuk says. And there was the hiding of his power. You see that right there? There was the hiding of his power. In other words, Habakkuk was saying, in the midst of all of this going on with the nation of Israel, there's a whole lot that's been concealed about our God than that has been revealed in his power to deliver his people. But it was because of their disobedience. And it will be because of your disobedience that his power will be hidden from you and hidden from this congregation. Do you realize that God has hidden, he's held back more power than he's revealed to this people planet? But notice he says, revive thy years. Now with the prophet here, everything is prophetic. Not only in a general context of that day and time, but also in the future. Because he was praying for Israel to be restored, to be brought back to life. And do you realize that God has promised to do that very thing? Do you realize that he's promised to bring Israel back as a nation? In 1948, that prophecy was fulfilled in Isaiah chapter 61, where the Bible says a nation will be born in a day. But there's yet a day coming when the nation of Israel will reign supreme with the Lord Jesus Christ from the nation and the land of Jerusalem. You realize that? And he's promised them that. But beyond that, what I want you to get from the context of this chapter is that Habakkuk was talking about the hiding of his power, but he was saying that it would be revealed when he revived the years and brought Israel back together again. What does that mean for you and I? That means we're living in the greatest days the world has ever seen. Because you and I, ladies and gentlemen, we will get to see, we will get to view, we will get to put our eyes upon the hidden power of the glory of God. The power that he has hidden, that he will reveal before he brings Israel back as a nation, is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2:28, when Joel prophesied about the Spirit of God being poured out upon all flesh. Hallelujah. And when the Apostle Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But it didn't stop there. But we've had a pause and we've had a break during the church age. But I believe with all of my heart that there's coming a revival. There's coming a fourth wave of the glory and the power of God that's going to cover this earth like the waters cover the sea. And it's going to be the hidden power of God that's going to bring your baby out of bondage into saving grace. It's going to bring you out of sickness into health. It's going to bring you out of depression into victory and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Shout amen if you believe it. Stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Mike, Clyde, if you would come. Let's set this down, gentlemen, if we can. Hallelujah. Guys, if we can, you mind carrying it to the side over here so we can use this altar. Hallelujah. Did you receive the word of the Lord this morning? Listen, you are supposed to move from glory to glory. All right? This right here where I stand is an altar. An altar represents a place of death, a place of sacrifice. As they get ready, look at me, a place of sacrifice. But you can never die unless you go to the place of sacrifice. You realize that? Don't be a spectator. Let the glory of God press out all of that junk that's holding you back right here today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to appeal to the camera. Anybody watching by internet around the world, wherever you are, everybody listening by podcast, we invite you to receive the glory of God into your life today. Simply by faith, if you confess Jesus as Lord of your life and believe with your heart, you shall be and can be saved right here today, delivered and transformed, and you can become a son of God right here today. Just say, I believe that God raised you from the dead, and I confess you, Jesus, as Savior of my life. And we're believing for the glory of God to visit your life and your family. In Jesus' name, God bless you.